Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
My next guest was a Green Party senator and MEP. Before her stint in politics, though, Grace O'Sullivan was an activist on the front line of Greenpeace campaigns in the 1980s. She protested against nuclear testing. And believe it or not, it is 40 years since the Rainbow Warrior ship, you'll remember, was bombed in an act of French state terrorism and it killed one man. Grace had been a crew member. She's also a pioneering surfer in Ireland. And you can't mention Waterford without the surfing, especially when it's down around Tremor, where she's from. Grace O'Sullivan, good morning.
Thank you very much, Alan, Oliver, for being here.
You look so fresh and like a real healthy, outdoorsy person.
It's all the Tremor Bay, the Guillemy, Newtown Cove. We are so blessed along Waterford for it. Beautiful seashore, and I just love the sea. So I often think, Oliver, I'm the last human to evolve out of the sea. You know, so I have the old seaweed rub along the face.
And it's the Celtic Sea, isn't it?
It's the Celtic Sea and part of the Atlantic Ocean.
Even though it's Ireland's ancient east, but that's a whole discussion. The city important to old businesses in the family, I believe.
Yeah. Actually, just up the road, High Street, my great grandfather set up a business. We were known as O'Sullivan's the Bottlers because very they good. Were making lemonade, bottling Guinness back in the day in the early 1900s. And then my grandfather went on to run the business. My father and his brother, my Uncle Paddy, is still alive. And they ran a very successful business here in Waterford. And then on the other side, the Commons, there was my great-grandfather was a sea captain. So he would have sailed just down below here, out of Waterford, over to places like Liverpool and that. So we have a long heritage with Waterford.
Commons is a big Waterford name as well.
Big Waterford name, yeah. We have a big extended family. So I'm related to John Cummins, who's a TD.
Junior Fine Minister.
That's it, yeah.
And Fine Gael.
So,
no wonder the Greens so easily got into bed.
So like, most Irish families, you know, different viewpoints on different areas. So I'm the true and the deep green.
And there's loads of surfing as well. As if you have a nephew who's an amazing surfer.
Oh, Tom Breen is an extraordinary surfer, a brilliant talent. And I genuinely believe he will be longboard surfing champion of our of Europe and maybe even the world one day. He's really extraordinary surfer. So we're very, very proud of him.
And can he keep his surfing going here or does he have to go
around
the world?
He's surfing out in Tremor in the West Coast. His father was also Irish longboard champion. So like Tremor is the oldest surf club in Ireland and we have an extraordinary history of surfing. But not only that, you know, people like myself, now in my 60s, coach every Sunday. We teach the young people, so we give back as much as we can. We volunteer. So great tradition of
you're
surfing.
You're in your 60s.
I am.
Do not look. You're 10 years below that.
It's all the good life.
Despite the politics, which ages most people.
Yeah.
And you lost your European seat last year.
Yeah.
Because the voters rejected, of course, Green candidates in every election that we had last year. How has your life been since out of politics?
Look, it's very good, Oliver, to be honest. You know, I think I was very lucky. You know, I was Senator, MEP, but I was what you'd call a reluctant politician. I wasn't a member of any political party in 2014 when I was literally dragged in the door, kicking and screaming by Eamon Ryan.
How did he rope you into it?
Well, he just convinced me that climate change and the environment needed advocates and people like myself. With, you know, I'm a UCC, a field ecologist by training as well. People to talk on behalf of the environment. You know, so I did my duty and I stood forward and I gave it my best, but I'm out the other side now and
it sounds like you're relieved.
I am, to be honest.
What were you doing in your career before politics?
So, look, I did everything, Oliver. I was a single parent, bringing up my three daughters. I've always been the breadwinner. Emer, my oldest, is special needs. She's intellectual disability. You know, so I've always been advocating on her behalf as well. But, like, I worked in a cafe. I was teaching surf. I was surfing Heritage Council of Ireland. I was working with them. I was nude modelling for a friend of mine who was doing her master's.
For life drawings.
Do you know yourself? Like when you're a lone parent, honest to God, you will do whatever it takes to raise your family. And that's what I did. And so getting into politics, you know, and becoming a senator was something I never dreamed of in my life, you know, and going on into the European Parliament. But, you know, it's not about me, it's about the issues that we advocate on behalf, the people that we try to get better conditions, better life for, you know, for the environment. This is what really motivates me and will continue to do so.
What did you not like about the political business?
Look, I'll tell you, I was never, you know, a serial funeral goer, ever.
Right.
And when I went into politics, there's an expectation you have to show up everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
And the other expectation is that you're always, you know, you're out there and you're looking for votes. And it wasn't me, you know, I that wasn't my style, so I wasn't going to do that. But even when you did go to the funeral or you did go to an event, people would be coming up and say, oh, you're only here for the votes. And that was never my nature. I was only there to serve. And that's what I feel, you know, I did to my best of ability.
There might be people thinking, I wish the Green TDs in particular, I know you weren't a TD, had gone to more funerals. They might have known the attitude towards them around the country.
Well, that's a
corrected
good,
course.
Yeah, maybe, you know, that's one of our failings, is that we didn't do these things that, you know, might be the expected. But at the same time, you know, I think the Greens, by and large, very genuine, very committed, you know, and, you know, even if I'm not active in politics as such, I am active all the time on the ground, you know.
Are you for the Green Party still?
Green issues, Green Party issues. Social issues, you know, anything that I feel that needs a voice, I will use my voice to do that in whatever way I can.
When you were in politics, how did you manage to balance your life with three kids at home?
Very difficult. Very, very difficult. I mean, you know, like I didn't have a partner here in Ireland. My ex-husband lives in Spain. So I really, Oliver, you've no idea, I relied on my friends so much and on family, but particularly on my friends, and they never left me wanting. So people like Kathy Hayden here in Waterford was an extraordinary support to me. Jackie Corcoran, who was my campaign manager, was extraordinary. I would never have got off the ground without these kind of people.
You
know,
and
the Green Party in general.
As an MEP.
Because, like, I came from nowhere. You know, in a way, I came from nowhere. And, you know, within a few short years, I was elected to the Senate. Then I had the absolute honour and privilege of being in a technical group with Lynn Ruan, Alice Mary Higgins, Frances Black, Colette Kelleher, and John Dolan.
It's kind of like an independent.
Oh, geez, what a group. What a group, you know. So Frances Black, you know, she's still, and that group are still on the trail of Palestine. Mm-hmm. And the Occupied Territories Bill, I was reading Frances yesterday, you know, had attended a meeting. I mean, that bill should be passed. Europe is an absolute disgrace under the leadership of Ursula von der Leyen. They have not acted to support the people of Palestine. They haven't been doing it for years and they're not doing it now.
Over there, you would have seen firsthand the different perspective they have on the continent compared to Ireland.
I was in the West Bank. I met people, I met families. I saw how they were being neglected. I saw the apartheid in the West Bank. I see what's going on in Gaza, and Europe is really missing in the whole issue. They could be more effective. So I see a complete lack of leadership on behalf of Ursula von der Leyen.
I suppose they're trying to take the balanced view where, you know, Hamas in Gaza started this whole war on the 7th of October 2023 and murdered 1,200 people at a music
There's
festival.
There's no denying that what happened was that Hamas attack was absolutely unacceptable. But 60,000 plus people dead today and us watching it is an absolute disgrace. When the European Union could have acted very quickly on sanctions against the Ukrainians, sanctions against Russia in terms of the attack on Ukraine.
A different
they
approach.
They haven't acted, and they could, that trade agreement between Israel and the EU, they could stop that tomorrow. So not enough has been done on behalf of the European Union as a union. And it's really lacking, and everyone can see it.
Your fierceness that we can hear from you today has gone back to your days in Greenpeace, hasn't it? It started there.
Yeah.
You were an incredible activist with Greenpeace and risked your life in many cases.
Yeah.
The 10th of July, 1985, 40 years ago, the Rainbow Warrior blown up in New Zealand. You were a crew member. Where were you at the time of the explosion?
So the night of the explosion, half of the crew were on shore because we'd been sailing for months to get to New Zealand.
And protesting against the French nuclear testing.
We were protesting against the underground nuclear testing by the French government in French Polynesia. The price we paid was huge. Our friend Fernando Pereira lost his life. The French government, under the command of François Mitterrand, placed two bombs on board our ship and blew the ship nearly out of the water. He gave the go-ahead.
That's extraordinary,
so it was state terrorism. It was absolutely extraordinary. I was 23, you know. And, you know, as a result of that, French testing did end in French Polynesia in a few years afterwards.
Such was the scandal over
it. It was desperate. And then I sailed to Moroa, the test site where the French were testing the bombs, on board a small yacht. Four of us sailed into the test zone and we were deported back to Ireland. So I was...
What was the name of the yacht?
It was the Vega. So I was
people remember that, yeah.
I was on with... people might remember, on with the Late Late Show with your great successor... predecessor, Gay Byrne.
Yeah. What a moment for a young one. So, but that's what you did after having, you know, survived effectively.
Yeah, we had survived the attack and then sailed on to Antarctica to protect Antarctica from the exploitation of fossil fuels and minerals. We got a 50-year moratorium on the exploitation.
I have a Greenpeace magazine.
Fossil fuels.
From what year is this from? Is it?
That's about 1989.
1989.
Yeah.
And it's you. Describe what we're looking at in this.
Yeah. So I'm, as I said, climbing the anchor cable. So the anchor chain of a Russian nuclear warship in the Mediterranean Sea, and I've got a banner in my hand. It's the anti-nuclear symbol, and our objective was to show people across the world that these ships with weapons of mass destruction, really dangerous weapons, were sailing very close to densely populated areas in and around
and you've
the
got
world.
That frightening symbol of the Soviet Union on the side of the of the warship.
Yeah.
Well, you were coming up the anchor chain.
I climbed
up
and they were trying to hose me off and then try to push me off with the hose. But then they started to drop the anchor cable. So I was being dropped down into the water, but the picture says it all. It's become
you could have been killed.
I tell you something. You know, I mean, we did a lot of training, so I was prepared to take a good spring away from that cable as it fell to the seabed.
Some of the reports from then said you were actually barefoot. Was that true?
Yeah, barefoot, because I could feel the cable much better with my feet. So, Oliver, I grew up in Tremor, a member of the RNLI, the Sea and Cliff Rescue, and we, you know, safety first, but we were taught so many skills in that time, and that's why Greenpeace picked me to join as a frontline activist, because I had that training behind me. So thanks to Waterford for that.
When your kids see you, do they know about all the stuff?
They do now, actually.
What do they say to you about it?
Well, you know, I think they're proud of what I have tried to achieve, you know. And in a way, they follow in my footsteps. They're involved always if there's marches or protests. They will be involved. But, you know, Waterford's a great place. There's lots of protests on a weekly basis across Waterford, to support the Palestinians. It's really active, really vibrant. So I'm very proud of that. I'm a very proud Waterford woman, I can tell you that, Oliver.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great county, and as they say, I loves me county.
Frieda's onto us, says Grace O'Sullivan is the most passionate, committed, genuine person. Lovely to hear her speak today. You still have fans out there, even if they didn't vote in the European election.
That's okay.
Are you still surfing?
I'm coaching.
Are you?
And we had a lovely group, Oliver, during the week. It's a group that the T-Bay, the surf club, an inclusive group to bring people with special abilities and disabilities out on the waves. So it was really special.
So do you not go out yourself then?
I'm training. I'm swimming. I swam from the Guillemin to the pier the other day, which is fair old swim and back. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of training up again. One of the things with politics is like I was on the road nonstop over and back to Brussels. So it's great to be home and just immersing myself in the things I love doing.
Well, you survived politics and your family did, I presume.
Yeah, we're out the other end, Oliver. out the other end. You
still active and still campaigning on all the issues that matter.
Yeah.
Grace O'Sullivan, thanks a million for chatting to us.
Thanks, Oliver.